Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the crowd. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from which we meditate upon this day comes from our epistle reading. Hear again especially these words. "Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Here ends our text. I have a question today to propose to you. What is better than one scoop of ice cream? Yes, two scoops of ice cream. It's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? Well, last week we got our first scoop of ice cream. We heard Pastor give a sermon on the Lord's Supper. We heard Paul's words of condemnation for the church in Corinth. We heard how the people were eating to fill their bellies and to get drunk. And we heard Paul's words of encouragement to instead follow the instructions that they received from Christ. And then after the sermon was over, we got an opportunity to ask Pastor questions on the spot and for him to give us answers. That won't be the case today. But certainly we heard God's word indeed last week. And this very day, we get our second scoop of ice cream. We get another sermon concerning the Lord's Supper. And now you might ask yourself, "Vicar, why do we need two sermons on the Lord's Supper?" And the answer is quite simple. It's because the Lord's Supper is so important. We know this by our practice. Every week when we come to church, whether you come at 8 o'clock or 10:30, we get to receive the Lord's Supper. And it's for this very reason that it's so important to us that we once again this day spend our focus on the Lord's Supper. In the portion of our text for today, we hear of worthy and unworthy recipients of the Lord's Supper. And our sermon this day will focus on what it means to be a worthy recipient. But first, Paul starts out his texts with those who are unworthy. And Paul has this to say: "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord." And Paul goes on to say about those unworthy recipients that he eats and drinks judgment on himself. "And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Some pretty harsh words by Paul, don't you think? He says, for those who eat and drink of the body and blood of Christ unworthily, They're guilty. And this guilt is no slap on the wrist. It's no minor offense. Paul says you're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. Those who receive the Lord's Supper unworthily are guilty of crucifying Jesus. And if that's not bad enough, and I'd hope to think it should be, Paul goes on to say that you bring judgment upon yourself. The kind of judgment that can cause you to become weak, the kind of judgment that can lead to death. Well, the question then arises, if these are the consequences of unworthy recipients of the Lord's Supper, well, what are worthy recipients? How can we make sure that we're not unworthy? And three things emerge from our text this day that can create someone to be an unworthy recipient. The first cause for unworthy participation is an abuse amongst the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We heard this last week in our sermon from Pastor. The church in Corinth were dividing themselves. It was the rich versus the poor. The people had come for the Lord's Supper and all the food was gone. Can you imagine with me today, if you came here before the altar to receive the body and blood of Christ, and you were told, "I'm sorry, there's none left. Pastor, vicar, and the elders, they ate it all. There are no gifts for you this day." And that's what's going on in the church in Corinth. And for those types of people, Christ says they are truly unworthy of my body and blood. Another cause for unworthy participation, like the first, is ignoring the very purpose of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is created to bring unity among the body of Christ. And the church in Corinth has no use for unity. They want to divide themselves. They want to build up barriers. They don't want everyone to be equal. And finally, the third cause of unworthy participation is the denial of Christ's true presence here in this bread and wine. The church in Corinth was so worried about filling their bellies and getting drunk that they thought that this meal, the Lord's Supper, was just like any other kind of meal. It was like a Saturday barbecue at their friend's house, and they didn't contemplate that something special, something different, was taking place. It certainly appears that the church at Corinth, there were those who were unworthy. But what does unworthy participation in the Lord's Supper look like for the church this day? Well, it can be as simple as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ arguing. The kind of arguing that leads people to disunity. It's when we don't talk to the person who sits two rows in front of us in church, and we haven't talked to him for the last 3 months because we're so upset with them and we just can't make peace. It can be those who come up for the Lord's Supper only because they're too embarrassed to stay in their seats when others come up. Or it can be those who come up to receive the body and blood of Christ but are too busy worrying about their shopping list or what they might have for lunch or might think that Christ truly isn't present anyways and this is just a big show, something you come to do at church. And it's these kinds of thoughts and these kind of attitudes that Christ says, those people are truly unworthy of my body and my blood. But Paul then commends the church in Corinth. Stop receiving the Lord's body and blood unworthily, but receive it worthily. And so also he makes this recommendation to us this day. Paul says this, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." A worthy recipient of the Lord's body and blood is one who examines himself. And that means that when we look at ourselves, we realize that we're sinners, that we haven't been perfect, that we've messed up, and therefore we repent. We say, "I'm sorry," and we have a desire for change. It's for this very reason that we began our worship this day with confession and absolution. We had a chance this morning as a congregation to confess our sins and to seek God's forgiveness. We have a desire and a faith to receive the gifts that our Lord has for us. We who are sinners will receive then the forgiveness of our Lord through his body and his blood. Another aspect of being worthy is faith that Christ is truly present in the bread and wine. That this isn't just another meal, but something different is taking place here. This is the Lord's Supper. And ironically, what does that mean? Well, it means it's not the vicar's supper, it's not pastor's supper, it's not even your supper. You're not the host, I'm not the host, but rather the Lord's the host. And thanks be to God for that, for here at the Lord's altar, he then as the host gives to us his gifts. The body and blood of Christ upon our lips, the same body that was crucified on the cross, the same blood that was shed for you, is now given to you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is not a meal that fills our bellies or makes us drunk, but even better than satisfying our earthly needs, his body and blood satisfies our souls, making us strong to faith and to life everlasting. And the final aspect of being a worthy recipient is having unity with your fellow brothers and sisters of Christ. The Lord's Supper is not an individualistic event, but rather as the body of Christ, the Lord's Supper strengthens those who take it. It's for this reason that before communion, we share the peace. And did you know that the sharing of the peace isn't just a chance for us to shake hands? It's not just a chance for us to see who's here at church. It's not a chance for us just to stand up and stretch. But rather, it's a chance for us to go to our brothers and sisters in Christ, our brother or sister in Christ who sits two pews in front of us, to shake their hand and say, God's peace, to make amends with one another, to have unity, and to come before the Lord's altar and to receive his body and his blood for us. Being a worthy recipient of the Lord's Supper kind of sounds hard, doesn't it? I just listed for you all the ways that you can be unworthy, and now I listed a bunch of requirements for how to be worthy. And the question then remains, how then is this possible? Yes, I know I confessed my sins, and 40 minutes later I'll have the body and blood of the Lord. But have I sinned in those last 40 minutes? Am I truly worthy to come up and to receive it? I fight with my brother. We don't have the best relationship. Do I have enough unity to receive the body and blood of the Lord? Can I ever be truly worthy? Maybe the Lord's Supper isn't for me. But the comfort I share with you this day is that Christ does not demand perfection. Instead, the great irony is also this, that worthy recipients of the Lord's Supper are actually those who are unworthy. It is those who have sinned, those who have fallen short, those who have messed up, and it's those who so desperately need to hear the words from their Savior, "You're forgiven." And today at this altar, these are the words that you receive. With the Lord's body and blood upon your lips, you receive forgiveness of your sins. You receive strengthening in your faith. You receive life and salvation. May we always receive the Lord's Supper worthily. When we sin and we fall short and we think maybe we don't deserve it, our God continues to give his gifts to his people to strengthen our lives, to make us one with Christ, one with one another, that we may be with him forever. May we always then receive this Lord's Supper worthily, rejoicing that the Lord's Supper is not my supper, but the Lord's Supper, and thanking him always for his gifts. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you have gathered us together for worship this morning. We pray that as the words of the gospel are spoken and as your sacrament is given, you would strengthen our faith to believe in you as the giver of all good things, even the gift of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you would allow us to have an impact in the greater Pittsburgh area, especially the the Bridgeville, South Fayette area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us the privilege of being people that you work through to make a difference in the lives of others. And we pray as a congregation that we would continue to rely on you as the giver of all good things and as the one who works in and through us, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our homebound members, especially Joan Sisko, Don and Sarah Jones, Ed Oschlager, Doris Oschlager, Shirley Bukuski, Vic Hershaft, and Ray Murphy. We pray that you would visit them with your presence and let them know that though they cannot be with us, you will never leave them nor forsake them. We also ask for healing for Vic Hershaft, Jim Neal, Iola Schmidt, Jack Oschlager, and Florence Baim. We thank you that Andrea Vogel has gone through her last of her cancer treatments and that things are going well for her, but that you would also continue to be with her for the days ahead. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for the congregations in our synod that, like us, are participating in the vicarage program. We pray that the vicars, as they learn and grow as pastors in training, would develop the skills and the heart necessary for the office, and pray that they would be a blessing to the congregations that they have been sent to, and that the congregations in turn would also be a blessing for them. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for the Pastoral Leadership Institute that's undergone some changes in leadership and focus. We pray that you would open doors for them to continue the ministry that they have been blessed to provide. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for Camp Pioneer, especially Alex, their director, and all of their staff, that their faith in you would grow and that you would give them the privilege of seeing you at work in and through them in the ministry that they provide. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the spread of the gospel and the gift of faith to those who do not know you as the Christ. Lord, we hear reports of violence coming out of Africa that your people, Christians, are being targeted. And we pray that you would give those in those dangerous areas steadfast faith and a bold confession of such. We also, therefore, pray for peace and freedom throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our country that you would raise up honest and wise leaders. We pray also for the destitute, defenseless, the sick, and the dying, that you would provide people in their lives to give care and comfort and to speak your name. And lastly, we pray for our military and those who serve by placing themselves in harm's way on our behalf, that you would keep them safe and give them success. Lord, in your mercy. These and all things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.